Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narratries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas is a Christian marriage book that reframes marriage as a spiritual vocation rather than primarily a source of personal fulfillment. Published by Zondervan, it argues that the deeper purpose of marriage is sanctification. God uses the closeness, friction, joy, and responsibility of married life to shape character and increase holiness. Thomas writes for readers who want a biblically grounded understanding of marriage and are willing to evaluate it through the lens of discipleship rather than consumer. Satisfaction. The book is not a secular relationship manual and does not focus mainly on communication techniques or compatibility strategies. Instead, it presents marriage as a setting in which spouses can learn patience, sacrifice, humility, forgiveness, and reverence for God. That perspective has made the book influential in Christian counseling, church small groups, and marriage study settings, especially for readers looking for a purpose-driven alternative to happiness-centered marriage advice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, marriage as a tool for sanctification rather than personal fulfillment. The central argument of sacred marriage is that marriage should be understood first as a means of spiritual formation. Gary Thomas challenges the assumption that a good marriage is mainly measured by how happy it makes the spouses. Instead, he proposes that God may intend marriage to reveal sin, develop virtue, and deepen dependence on Him. This is a significant shift because it changes the basic question couples ask. Rather than asking whether marriage is meeting emotional expectations, the book asks whether it is shaping them into more Christ-like people. That framework does not deny that marriage can be joyful, affectionate, or satisfying. It does insist, however, that these benefits are secondary to a larger divine purpose. The practical effect of this idea is that frustrations, disappointments, and routine pressures are no longer treated as evidence that the marriage is failing. They become material for growth. This makes the book distinct from many relationship books that promise better romance, better communication, or better sex as the chief outcome. Thomas treats marriage as a spiritual discipline, which gives ordinary domestic life moral and theological weight. Secondly, using marital friction as a mirror that exposes character and self-centeredness. One of the book's most important mechanisms is its treatment of conflict as revealing rather than merely damaging. Thomas argues that a spouse often exposes the exact areas of life where selfishness, pride, impatience, and lack of trust still remain. In this view, tension is not only a problem to be eliminated but also a diagnostic tool. Marriage becomes a mirror that reflects hidden habits of the heart. That insight is especially important because it reframes difficult moments as opportunities for repentance and reflection. Instead of assuming that spiritual growth happens only in quiet religious settings, the book suggests that growth often comes through irritation, unmet expectations, and the demands of daily cohabitation. This approach is grounded in a Christian understanding of sanctification, where God uses ordinary relationships to shape believers over time. The value of this perspective is that it prevents couples from treating difficulty as meaningless. It also challenges the instinct to blame the spouse for every emotional discomfort. By directing attention inward, Thomas encourages readers to ask what marriage is revealing about their own need for grace. That makes the book less about fixing a partner and more about being transformed through relationship. Thirdly, Christ-like sacrifice as the pattern for marital love, sacred marriage consistently ties marriage to the Christian model of sacrificial love. Thomas presents the love of Christ for the church as the standard against which marital love should be measured. That means love is not primarily understood as a feeling that rises and falls with mood, attraction, or convenience. It is an enacted commitment to serve, forgive, and seek the good of the other person. This is a meaningful shift because many modern marriage models begin with compatibility and emotional chemistry, then try to preserve them through technique. Thomas instead argues that enduring love is formed through self-giving behavior. But the book therefore places duties such as patience, gentleness, and humility at the center of marital health. This does not mean that spouses erase their own personhood or tolerate abuse. Rather, it means that healthy Christian marriage is marked by intentional other-centeredness. The theological logic is that love becomes holy when it imitates divine love, which gives without demanding immediate return. As a result, the book asks readers to see everyday acts of service, not as optional extras, but as the basic shape of covenant life. This is one reason the book resonates with readers seeking a more demanding but more meaningful account of marriage. Fourthly, prayer, worship, and spiritual habits as part of marital growth. The book does not stop at theology. It connects marriage to concrete spiritual practices. Thomas emphasizes that a marriage centered on God needs habits that keep both spouses oriented toward Him. Prayer, scripture, worship, and mutual spiritual attentiveness are treated as essential supports rather than decorative additions. This matters because the book is not simply urging couples to think differently, it is asking them to live differently in ways that reinforce the new vision. If marriage is a place where holiness is formed, then spiritual disciplines provide the means by which that formation can occur. Prayer, for example, redirects the couple away from self-absorption and toward dependence on God. Shared spiritual practices can also reduce the tendency to make the spouse the ultimate source of meaning, comfort, or identity. Thomas's approach gives marriage a liturgical quality in the broad sense domestic life becomes part of a larger relationship with God. That perspective helps explain why the book appeals to church readers in small groups. It offers more than advice about relationship management. It offers a framework for building a household in which faith actively shapes tone, priorities, and response to hardship. Lastly, why the book resonates with Christian readers seeking a non-culture-driven marriage model. Sacred marriage stands out because it directly challenges the dominant cultural story that marriage exists mainly for companionship, romance, and self-actualization. Thomas offers a different criterion for evaluating marital success, one rooted in Christian discipleship. That makes the book especially relevant for readers who feel that modern marriage expectations are too small or too fragile. Its appeal lies in its seriousness. It does not reduce marriage to techniques for avoiding conflict or maintaining excitement. Instead, it asks whether marriage is accomplishing eternal purposes. This gives the book a strong pastoral function, particularly for readers struggling with disappointment or routine. It can help them reinterpret difficulty without abandoning hope. At the same time, the book may feel demanding to readers outside Christian tradition because its logic depends on biblical assumptions about holiness, sin, and divine purpose. That specificity is also part of its strength. Rather than offering universal but shallow advice, it speaks with a clear theological voice. In the crowded marriage category, that clarity makes it memorable. It is less interested in helping readers get a better relationship on consumer terms and more interested in helping them understand marriage as part of a larger spiritual calling. In conclusion, Sacred Marriage is best suited for Christian couples, engaged couples, pastors, counselors, and small groups that want a theology of marriage rather than a purely practical relationship guide. Readers who are open to biblical categories will gain a deeper understanding of how marriage can function as a setting for sanctification, repentance, patience, and sacrificial love. Its main benefit is not a list of quick fixes, but a change in perspective that can reshape how people interpret conflict, routine, and disappointment. That makes it intellectually and spiritually useful for readers who suspect that modern marriage advice often asks too little of marriage. What distinguishes this book from many others in the genre is its clear refusal to treat happiness as the final measure of marital success. Instead, it places holiness, discipleship, and devotion to God at the center. For readers looking for a spiritually serious and theologically grounded marriage book, this remains one of the most recognizable and influential options in Christian publishing. If you would like to support Gary Thomas, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.